Jacob will have 10 sons, and then Jacob will have 2 more sons. Well, I guess he'll have a daughter before the 2 sons. Are we not connected? This is on. I got nothing. Tim, can you just go to the next slide? And I got no connection back here. Where does Joseph fit? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There's the 10 boys that he had: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, has the daughter Dinah. And then Jacob with Rachel. So the first 10 sons and daughter were with 3 different women. And then Jacob with Rachel has Joseph and Benjamin. Where does Joseph fit? He's the 11th. He's got 10 older brothers. He's got 1 younger brother. Joseph gets to be the big brother to Benjamin. He's got 10 half-brothers, but he's got 1 full brother. Same mom, same dad, little Benjamin, and Joseph gets to be big brother. Genesis chapter 37, verses 4 and 5 say this: "But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Joseph was the favorite. Dad made him a coat. A coat that he'd wear that everyone who looked at him would see, "You're the favorite." And his 10 older brothers hated him. Joseph had a dream. In fact, he had a couple, and he told his brothers the dream. The interpretation would be that one day they would bow down to him. And it says that they hated him all the more. In fact, they could not speak peaceably to Joseph. There was nothing that they could say, nothing that would come out of their mouths that would be kind, that would be nice, that would be thoughtful, anything. They couldn't speak anything of peace to Joseph. They hated him, and their hate was increasing. It wasn't just that they despised him, didn't like, it grew and grew and grew, and that's what hate does, is it grows. In verse 18 of the same chapter, Joseph's been sent out by his dad to what the brothers would feel is to spy on them. "Bring back a word to me about how the brothers are doing." He's done this before and it hasn't gone well. He's brought back a bad report about them. So he goes out to see them. They see him afar off and they look at him and they conspire against him to kill him. And they'll say things like, "Let's see what will become of his dreams then." And they conspire to kill Joseph. In verse 23, beginning at verse 23, "As they have taken Joseph," he's arrived with them, "Reuben said, 'Don't kill him, let's throw him into a pit.' They throw him into an empty well, into the bottom of a pit. And as they plan the pathway of murder for their brother," well, certainly you can't do that on an empty stomach. And he's in the pit, and they say, "Well, anybody got anything to eat?" And so they begin to share this meal together, and they lifted their eyes up. As they're dining, as their brother's in the pit, they lifted their eyes up and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with camels bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. Now I want you to watch this. "So Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let it not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother and our flesh.' And his brothers listened." Judah said, "Let's sell him." Judah said, "He's not worth anything to us alive. And he's not worth anything to us dead, but he might be worth something to someone. Let's sell him and make it a profit." So they sold their brother into slavery, and so much happens. So much happens in the life of Joseph. He's sold into slavery, he rises to power. The house of Potiphar. He's wrongly imprisoned, and he rises to power in prison. He stands before Pharaoh, and in one day he goes from prison to power. He rises to power in front of Pharaoh because God was with him. Amen. He gets married. There is no mention of rising to power. But he does have children. He's got two boys. He calls the first one Manasseh. And he says this. For God, this is what Manasseh means. It means forgetful. His next son means fruitful. Forgetful and fruitful. This is what it means, Manasseh. For God has made me forget all the toil of my father's house. God has touched my memory. He has set me free. He has caused me to forget all the toil, all the pain, all the struggle, all the suffering. God has miraculously caused me to forget what's behind. And he has another son named Ephraim. And he says this, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God's caused me to be fruitful. Looking back, God's caused me to forget. Looking forward, I see nothing but fruitfulness, even though I've been sold out. And my life has been afflicted. There's a fruitfulness that God has brought to me. Years go by. If we were to do the math, and it's recorded pretty clearly in Scripture, his I Had a Dream speech shows up when he's 17 years old. He enters Pharaoh's service. It's recorded specifically in Genesis 41:16 that he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh and entered his service. 7 years of plenty will go by. That means Joseph is now from 30, 7 years, he's 37. 2 years of famine go by. There's 5 years left, Scripture will tell us. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. 2 years into the famine, it has been 20, so he's 39 years old. It has been 22 years since he's seen his brothers. 22 years have gone by where he is able to say, God's caused me to forget, and he's caused me to be fruitful. There is a terrible famine in the land. But because of Joseph's leadership, God's intervention and Joseph's leadership, there is grain in Egypt. In fact, Jacob will say to his sons, go to Egypt, there's grain there, not knowing there's grain there because of his son. And the people all throughout the land of Egypt go to buy grain from Joseph, the governor of the land. And then the miracle happens, and we don't know what day of the week. We don't know what time of day. I will guarantee you this, Joseph knows. He knows the moment. He knows the hour. He knows when this happens. Because on what day, we don't know, but he'll remember. On the day when people come to buy grain from the governor, there's a group that comes to stand before him. Correction, there's a group that comes to bow before him. 10 men come in to buy grain. From outside of Egypt, they come to buy grain. They see the governor, and they do the most natural thing in the presence of royalty, which would fit the setting. They do, and immediately says they saw him, and they bowed down. And the miraculous takes place. The dream is fulfilled from however many years ago, and they do not recognize this governor who they haven't seen for years and years. But he recognizes them, and he remembers. And he remembers in that moment, he remembers the dreams, he remembers the betrayal, he remembers the years. Chapter 42, beginning at verse 6 and 7. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came, and bowed down before him. That's all it says, boom. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. And he recognizes them. Joseph saw his brothers. He recognized them. But I want you to watch what he does. And he acted as a stranger to them. And he spoke roughly to them. And he said to them, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. He recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. And this morning, if we could give our attention to this, he never had any intention of revealing himself to them. There wasn't a moment. There wasn't a consideration. He had never had any intention of revealing who he was. He speaks roughly to them. He acts like a stranger, and he accuses them of being spies. We've come here to buy food. No, you are spies. Just what he had been accused of by them, from Dad. Oh, you're coming to spy on us. No, you're spies. And his brothers reply that they have come to buy food, and his brothers make this declaration in verse 11 and 13. They say this, "We are all one man's sons. We are honest men." You imagine? How did he not come unglued? "We're honest men. Your servants are not spies." But he said to them, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of this land." Verse 13, one said, "Your servants are 12 brothers and the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." The youngest is with our father today. He wouldn't know that. That would be new information. He knew what these 10 did to him, and he had a little brother. He hadn't talked to them. He hadn't been in contact with them. He had no idea what was happening back home, which isn't home anymore. And they say this, "The youngest is with our dad." He had no idea if they had sold Benjamin into slavery. They did it to him. Why wouldn't they do it to him? Why wouldn't they do it to Benjamin? Look at how they treated him. They'd have no idea. And he'd have no idea. And he reveals this, "Our youngest is with dad. Benjamin." Benjamin. Benjamin's with dad. He's alive. And everything we're about to see, everything we're about to walk through, everything that is going to unfold in the life of Joseph in this story is about Benjamin. It has everything to do with Benjamin. Nothing else is about to matter. Benjamin's alive. And Joseph comes up with a plan. He says to them, "It says, I spoke to you, saying you're spies. In this manner you'll be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place," what? "Unless your youngest brother comes here." By the life of Pharaoh, the only thing that matters is your youngest brother comes here. You're not going to leave until he comes here. And he puts them in prison for 3 days. See what prison feels like. I was there for over 2 years. Have a little taste of that. He puts them all in prison for three days. After 3 days, he hauls them in front of him. He says, "If you are honest men, take the grain you've come to buy, go get your youngest brother, bring him here, prove that you're not liars, and just to make sure you're going to return, I'm going to keep one of you in prison." This is what his brothers say. Then they said to one another, now listen, they are not speaking the tongue of the Egyptians, they're speaking Hebrew. They say to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us." That doesn't show up in Scripture anywhere else in here. We have no idea. They threw him into a pit and then they sold him. Doesn't make our radar the anguish of soul that Joseph pleaded with them. And they say this, and we wouldn't hear. "Therefore this distress has come upon us." But they didn't know that Joseph understood them. They didn't know what they were saying could be understood by this Pharaoh, by this Pharaoh's governor, by this Egyptian. For he spoke through an interpreter. It says, then he turned himself away from them and wept. Can you imagine? He is reliving that moment. As they say, "We hardened our hearts. We didn't hear. We didn't respond when he pleaded and begged. And Joseph can't stand it." But he is not going to tell them who he is. And he turns around the other way, goes into another room. He returned to them and talked with them. And then he took Simeon from them and bound Simeon before their eyes. Puts him in prison. Egyptians load up their donkeys, full of grain. But Joseph instructs his men, he says, do this. In all of the bags of grain they came to buy, put everybody's money back in the sack. Put it back in their supplies. And the brothers, they would leave and they'd go back towards Jacob. And en route, they'd open these packs and they'd see the money. And it's one of the most potentially confusing parts of this whole story is, there's money back in our sacks. They couldn't understand it, and sometimes we can't understand it. What was that all about? Joseph, what were you doing? I think he was making a statement. Maybe subtle, maybe clear. Maybe to them, maybe just to himself. I don't want your money. I don't want your stinking money. I don't need anything from you. In fact, I don't need you. He sent them away. I don't need your money. And they come back to their dad, Jacob, and is bewildered as they begin to explain this story, this unfolding of what's happened. We went to buy grain. We met this man. They talk all about the money being returned and the confusion of that. He says, when you come back, we've got to bring Benjamin. He's got Simeon. We've got to bring Benjamin. And Jacob says, no way. There is no way on earth that I am letting Benjamin go. And he says this. He says, his brother is gone and he is left alone, standing with 10 other brothers. He's alone. That's how Jacob sees Benjamin and Joseph. His brother is gone and Benjamin's alone. That's why Benjamin didn't go in the first place. He said, there's no way I'm letting him go to Egypt. Lest something happen to him. I am keeping him here. I'm not letting him go. And the brothers come back and say, here's the deal. Benjamin's got to go. Jacob says, no, it's not going to happen. But the famine gets worse. There's no food and they're all going to starve and they're all going to die. Jacob says, boys, you got to go back to Egypt. And they said, Dad, the only thing left for us there is death. We'll die here, we'll die there. But unless we bring Benjamin, the man was clear. And Jacob again says this to the boys, what were you thinking? Why did you tell him? How did we get to this place? Why did you tell him about Benjamin? And they said, Dad, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, is your father alive? Have you another brother? We told him. We told him according to these words. How could we possibly have known? How could we possibly have known that he would say, bring your brother down? Of all of the things, bring more money, bring more stuff, bring more goods, whatever. No, I'm not going to sell you anything. Of all the things, we never would have imagined he would have said, bring your brother. So Joseph's plan is in full swing. The famine's gotten worse. And the brothers go with Benjamin to Egypt. When they arrive, they don't see Joseph right away. They go to his accountant and say, all our money was returned to us. We found it in our sacks. Here's the money. And they try to give the accountant double money. And he says this, it's all good. I got all my money. We are not missing any. You keep it. It's under strict orders. You keep it. It has nothing to do with us. You keep it. And then after that, Joseph shows up. Verse 29, chapter 43. He lifted his eyes. And he sees his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, yes, God be. He said, yes. And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother. This whole thing's been about Ben. His heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to. He is not going to let them know what's going on. And he runs away and hides somewhere to weep. He went into his chambers and he wept there. Then he washed his face, came out, restrained himself and said, serve the bread. Now he's not going to sit with them. He sat by a place by himself. Them by themselves. And the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians couldn't eat food with the Hebrews. That's just an abomination. That doesn't happen. And they sat before him, and this is how he sat them down. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. On and on and on, in birth order, all the way to Benjamin. To the youngest, according to his youth. And the men were astonished with one another. They look and they see the birth order in front of them. And he took servings to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of them. Benjamin, I've been waiting for this. You're going to get more than you can imagine. So they drank and were merry with him. In the morning, he sends them away. Same instructions to his guys. Put their money back in their sacks. I don't need a thing from them. Put the money back in their sacks, except with one addition. Take my silver cup and put it in the youngest sack. Put it in his pack. Put it in his supplies. No, nobody knows this is going on. The money's there. The brothers don't know about this. And in the morning, he gets up. Off you go. They all leave. Everybody, Simeon included. This is marvelous. We brought Benjamin, and we got Simeon, and we're going home. We're in the clear. Scripture says he did not let them get far. That's the wording. He did not let them get far. They just passed the city limits, and out comes the posse. Joseph sent soldiers. Joseph sent guards. And they catch up with the brothers, and they say, on Joseph's behalf, what is this treachery? What is this you've done to me? You repay my goodness with this evil. You have stolen, he says, my master's silver cup. Don't you know that that's the cup that he practices divination with? That's the special cup. Of all the things to have taken, you shouldn't have taken that. And the brothers immediately deny it and say, we didn't. We touched nothing, we took nothing. They said, in fact, if you find it, you can execute the one that took it. And the rest of us will be your slaves. And so they said, good, okay. And they start opening the packs. The brothers take the supplies off the donkeys. They begin to open it, and they start with Reuben's. Nothing. The money's here. Oh, we've done this before. Okay. The money's here. We're surprised, but we're not. The money's here. Simeon, Levi, Judah, down, 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 down. All the way through the brothers. Nothing. 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 It wasn't us. Benjamin. Yeah, there's the grain. There's the money. There's the cup. What now? And they're undone. And instead of just taking Benjamin, they say, we're all going, we're all coming. And they all come before Joseph, and they do what the only thing they know to do. They bow down. The only thing they knew to do. Bow down again. And they bow down before him. And I want you to watch this. This is the fulfillment of Joseph's plan. It wasn't some elaborate ploy on how he would reveal himself. It was never about that. It was all about Benjamin. And they say, we'll be your slaves. And Joseph says this, far be it from me to keep all of you. Far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand was the cup found, was found, it shall he shall be my slave. As for you, go up in peace to your father. Go away. Just him. He will stay. Everybody else leave. I never need to see you again. Everything was about getting Benjamin. Benjamin's here, and there is no way that Benjamin's going to be a slave. Once those other boys leave, Benjamin's world is going to change. Benjamin's world is going to be rocked, and Joseph is going to show Benjamin, this is how you are act like a big brother. Well, welcome to my world. This moment, there was no intention of having Benjamin in prison or in slavery. Benjamin, my brother, it's us two. And then Joseph, something happens that Joseph didn't expect. Something he never could have seen coming, not in a year, not in a million years. Judah speaks. Judah, the one who said, let's not kill him, let's sell him. Judah, who said, let's not kill him, let's sell him and make a profit. And Scripture says, and all of the brothers listened to Judah. He was a brother of influence. Let's sell him. And everybody agreed. Judah speaks up. And Judah says this, if you keep Benjamin, it'll kill my dad. He can't take it. Governor, sir, I beg you. And this is what Joseph could have never imagined. Take me. Take me instead. Let Benjamin go free, and I will take his place. I will go to prison in his place. I will go to slavery in his place. His life is worth more than mine. Now, therefore, please let your servant, Judah, remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. And Joseph could have never imagined that he would take his place. And that, dear ones, is the moment when everything changed. It's when Joseph's plan came undone. It's when Joseph's resolve came undone. It's when Joseph came undone. And he cries out to his brothers and said, I'm Joseph. You sold me into slavery. I'm the one. I'm Joseph. And they stand dumbfounded, struck. Can't believe it. Don't understand it. And Joseph reveals himself only after Judah had lived out a transformation. Judah, who said, I'm going to sell out my brother, now said, I'll give myself in place of my brother. The story unfolds. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Finally, they get it through their heads. It really is Joseph. And look what he does. He falls on Benjamin's neck and weeps. Because it's all been about Benjamin. The whole adventure. Bring Benjamin, bring Benjamin, bring Benjamin. When his heart gets touched by the memories, by the sorrow, by the pain, he leaves because he's not going to reveal himself to his brothers who sold him out. He's not going to trust them ever again. And then it unfolds in front of him how Judah says, take me, not him. And instead of selling him out, he takes his place. And Joseph, everything changes. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talk with him. And the story of Joseph unfolds. And he recognizes not only that the dreams that he had, they weren't about him, they were about them. And it's so much more than them. He recognizes the hand of God in all of it. All things. You work all things together for my good. Joseph finally understood. For me, the story isn't about just the life of Joseph and the fulfillment of his dreams. It's the transformation of Judah. Judah, whose idea it was to sell him, now offers himself. There is power in a transformed life. Here's the lesson. Don't live as who you were. Live as who you are. A transformed life can transform other people's lives. Let the transformation that God does in you be a transforming agent in the people around you. Live differently, talk differently, act differently. Be different. We heard this morning from Shannon, I'm changed, I'm different. 40 years ago, she's all the missions, she's served as a missionary in China, on and on. A transformed life is still transforming lives today. If anyone's in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Put off the old ways of doing things. Put on the new. The new way of thinking. The new way of living. It's so much more than the story of Joseph. It's the transformation of Judah. And isn't it interesting? From Genesis 37 to 45, it's all about Joseph. We read all about Joseph, all that takes place, except for Genesis 38. We have this moment of Joseph being sold into slavery, and then there's this cut scene. We leave that whole story to hear one entire chapter about Judah and about Tamar and about all the things that happened in Genesis 38. Eventually, Judah has a son named Perez by Tamar. Joseph sold into slavery. Meanwhile, in the life of Judah, it's this, how does that fit into it all? We're watching the transformation of Judah because we learn that by Judah begot Perez, begot Hezron, begot Ram, Abinadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, comes David the king. In the line of Judah, Jesus is the son of David. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. There's been a transformation that takes place in Judah's life. Listen, we'll close with this. The blessing that Jacob pronounces on his son Judah. Fast forward all the way to the end of the book of Genesis. The brothers are all there. Jacob's there. Everybody's moved to Egypt. Jacob is about to die. Or he's giving his final benediction, his blessing on his boys. He says this about Judah. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Think of the context of Joseph and the dreams. And now he's saying, Judah, you're the one your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies, your father's children. Who's that? Your father's children. Your brothers shall bow down before you. Because this dream doesn't end with Joseph. Judah, your father's children shall bow down before you. He goes on to say this, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Shiloh, the word means to whom it belongs, whom the scepter belongs, whom the kingdom belongs, until the Messiah comes, and to him shall be the obedience of all people. Judah, you've got a destiny. You're in the lineage of Christ. There's been a transformation, and a transformed life of Judah transforms Joseph. We'd have a completely different story. But that moment when Judah said, take me instead of him, everything changed. And instead of just Benjamin, all the house of Jacob went into Egypt and became a great nation. It was the hand of the save many. But beyond that, I want to read the next scripture, because you may be here this morning and you may say, that's wonderful for the life of Joseph. We see the end of the story, but right now I still feel like I'm in a pit. I feel like I haven't seen the end result yet. I trust that you work all things together for my good, but I don't see it yet. That joy comes in the morning, but it just sure seems like night right now. Listen to what Joseph goes on to say. God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many. And this is what Joseph said to his brothers. I believe this is what the Lord says to us this morning. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them, spoke kindly to them. God's got a kind word for you today. God's got a comforting word for you today. Do not be afraid. He says, I will provide for you. And he spoke kindly and comforting. This morning, if you feel like you're in that place where you just need somebody to pray for you and stand with you, know that you're not in the pit alone. You're not. It's not the end of the story, but it's in the midst of the struggle. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. We want to believe with you. Whatever need you might have in your life or in the life of someone else, say, can we pray for my friend? Can we pray for this person? We want to take time this morning to pray with you. And so we'll have people at the front ready to pray. But God bless you. Love one another. Live a transformed life. Transform other people by them seeing Christ's transformation in you. And may his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.